He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there, yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his finger into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be open." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered it, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Gospels are full of these little stories of people, individuals whose names we will never know, and the details of their lives we'll never know, but we get to have a little look at the moment in their lives when they come in contact with Jesus. And it's all different people. It's the Syrophoenician woman who wasn't even a Jew, but who had this desperate need for her daughter. It's this deaf man whose friends brought him and begged that Jesus would heal him. Blind men, the lame, people with demons, so many different people that Jesus came in contact with as he traveled on his way. And it's really important for us to read that because it lets us know who Jesus is, that he is a God who heals. And we need to know that because we all need healing. We all need healing in our lives. We need healing, physical healing, especially as we grow older. We need healing with other people for relationships. So many of us have relationships in their families, and among, especially in families, I think, and among friends that need healing. We need healing of memories and wounds from the past that so desperately need healing. And then in the wider circle, the church needs healing. Healing of fractured relationships between denominations. The world needs healing. Our nation needs healing among the people who are fearful and hostile. All the polarity that we hear, all the fear, all the anger that's out there. We're in such desperate need of healing. And this last week, I went to a meeting at the Spiritual Life Center. The bishop called us all, and our diocese is at a time when we are in need of healing. You probably are, most of you, aware that this past summer was the General Convention, and there was a lot of dissension at General Convention. There are factions of more liberal, more conservative people within the church. A lot of disagreement about how things should be done, what we're looking for in our faith, and what changes some people would like to make and what changes some people would very much like not to be made. And it all causes this, this friction and dissension among the people of God's church. And that needs healing. And it's really important for us to know that we have a God who's able to do that, that none of this is hopeless. It's not hopeless in our nation. It's not hopeless in the world. It's not hopeless, especially in his church among his people, and certainly not hopeless in our lives. So today I wanted to read a letter that the bishop sent out after our meeting that we had this week, just so you'll have a little bit of an idea of what's going on and what his needs are for prayer. And then I want us to pray together a little bit for our diocese in particular. So this is the letter from the bishop. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I met with the clergy of the Diocese of Albany on Thursday, September 6th, to discuss the recently passed General Convention Resolution B012 in order to provide a safe setting, enabling all the clergy to speak freely without fear of being quoted in the local newspaper or by other clergy. The meeting was held within the context of an executive session. That means that we don't share what happened, who said what, and all that. It was confidential among the clergy of the diocese. Approximately 130 clergy were able to attend, and Helen and I were there. I invited the clergy to reflect and share their thoughts regarding B012, particularly, and that's he doesn't explain that right off, but it's the resolution regarding same-sex marriage, particularly as it impacts them individually and their ministry as deacons and priests, the potential impact on their parishes, and the potential impact on the diocese as a whole. I also asked what they would like to see from the bishop prior to December 2nd, which is the first Sunday of Advent and the effective date of all the General Convention resolutions. Overall, I found the day to be positive and helpful as I continue to discern how I, as the bishop, will respond to B012 and lead the diocese in the days to come. A wide variety of diverse thoughts and opinions were offered by the clergy regarding B012. All were shared in good faith. As I mentioned in my letter of invitation to the clergy, the purpose of the meeting was not for me to issue a proclamation at that time on how B012 will be carried out in the Diocese of Albany, but rather for me to share with them some of my thoughts to clarify my understanding of what the resolution does and does not say, and to give me a chance to listen to the thoughts and concerns of the clergy. Ultimately, as the bishop, I will make a decision regarding my response to B012 and how it will be dealt with in the Diocese of Albany. That decision will be made thoughtfully and prayerfully and will be openly shared with the whole diocese prior to December 2nd. While I know there are some who would like me to simply say today what I'm going to do, it is not simply a matter of being for or against same-sex marriage. As a result of the complexity of B012, and it's an incredibly complex and hard to understand resolution, there are a multitude of implications not only for same-sex couples wishing to be married in their home parish, but also for the clergy and parishes involved, for my role in ministry as bishop, for the Diocese of Albany and its relationship with the wider Anglican Communion and the body of Christ. Whatever decision I and or the rest of the church make regarding this resolution, there will be consequences. There's no escaping them. My ultimate desire as your bishop is to be faithful and obedient to our Lord Jesus Christ, discerning not my will, but his will, and knowing how best to lead the Diocese of Albany in such a way that he will be glorified and his church and people will be blessed. Please keep me and our diocese in your prayers. Faithfully, your brother in Christ, William H. Love, Bishop of Albany. And I can say I was encouraged at the meeting that the sharing was respectful and loving, and very open, and that there was good listening done on all sides. And I would like us to spend a little time praying for the bishop, because it's a very heavy weight that he carries, responsible for the guiding and the spiritual well-being of this whole diocese, which is a lot of people, a lot of parishes. So if you would open your Book of Common Prayer to page 816. By praying number 7, the prayer for the church. Let us pray. Gracious God,
we pray for the
Holy Catholic Church. Fill it with all truth, in all truth with all peace. Where it is corrupt, purify it. Where it is in error, direct it. Where in anything it is amiss, reform it. Where it is right, strengthen it. Where it is in want, provide for it. Where it is divided, reunite it. For the sake of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Savior. Amen.
And then
if
you'd like to turn over to the next page, number 9, for clergy. And let's pray this particularly for our bishop. Let us pray. Almighty and
ever-living God, from whom cometh every good and perfect gift, send down upon our bishops and other clergy, and upon the congregations committed to thy charge, the helpful spirit of thy grace, that they may really please thee. Pour upon them the continual dew of thy blessings. Grant this, O Lord, for the honor of our advocate and mediator, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And then the following prayer for the diocese. O
God, by your grace you have called us in this diocese to a goodly fellowship of faith. Bless our bishops,
Bishop Love and Bishop Dan,
and all the clergy, and all our people. Grant that your word may be truly preached and truly heard, your sacraments faithfully administered and faithfully received. By your Spirit, fashion our lives according to the example of your Son, and grant that we may show the power of your love to all among whom we live, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our only Savior, the Prince of Peace, give us grace seriously to lay to heart the great dangers we are in by our unhappy divisions. Take away all hatred and prejudice, and whatever else may hinder us from godly union and concord. That as there is but one body and one Spirit, one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, so we may be all of one heart and of one soul, united in one holy bond of truth and peace, of faith and charity. And may with one mind and one mouth glorify thee through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.